about. You gotta put it in perspective.
My neighbor, welcome again to this neighborhood. I'd like to show you something. You know what this is? Well, maybe if I press this button, you can see. This is a cassette player with a little cassette in here, and there's nothing written on it, so we'll just have to play it to see what it is.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
You get a lot of B-52s.
Yes. I have no idea why I have Fred Schneider's solo album.
Why did I buy this funky little purchase?
Is that your Fred Schneider?
Yeah.
Why did I buy this funky little purchase?
We have our own Freds.
And now.
My God is being authentic, but it's also about being authentic, which means I will be authentic. And so that transmission's coming. But when I do it, I'm going to burn it down real good.
Our feature presentation. I
don't understand much of what he said.
He's right, though.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday morning, the 19th of February.
Hey, kids.
What's happening?
Hey.
Hi.
How was everybody's weekend?
It was great. It's fun.
Yeah. Felt like a real vacation.
Sort of did, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was not long enough.
Okay. All right.
Could have used a couple extra days.
Yeah, 5-day weekend.
All right.
We know from social media that Kevin was very busy, leaving shopping carts all over North America.
Yeah, I appreciate
Seriously?
That, Bean.
You traveled everywhere.
So I really got
Waco.
Around.
Yeah.
Saw you. Of course, I saw you, that you were in New Orleans. Didn't look me up. Thank you for that.
Sure.
You were up in Canada, I guess, for a while. It's like you must have really covered some ground.
I have the weirdest social media. Nothing over the weekend but pictures of shopping carts in parking lots.
Well, you're the only one to blame.
Well, it's questionable.
Ali, what'd you do? Did you have a cute Postmates delivery man?
I didn't. Trying to think of all my Postmates. 4 or 5.
Well, just morning, noon, and night.
Yeah. No, I just hung out with a couple friends a couple days. I had friends up in Napa that kept sending me their really festive stories. That was fun. I've never been happier.
What do you mean festive stories?
They were wasted from like early morning through until like 7 o'clock when they were like, we got to go back to the hotel.
That's your kind of drinker. Yeah. You could have gone to and chose not to.
I'm just not a wine drinker, and they were so excited to like taste all the different wines, and I was like, eh.
It's wine time, mommy.
Yeah.
Like that like weird feeling going around where like a shirt's like, I need wine to start my day. Not for me, guys.
I don't know what Boris Johnson is doing.
This is the suburban housewife.
So what's the? It's not FOMO. It's the other. What's the opposite of that?
JOMO.
Joy of missing out.
So that's what you had. You had a lot of JOMO this weekend.
Yes.
Fun.
How about you?
And Jensen, how big's your baby now?
My baby is huge.
A peach?
Right now it is the size. It was crazy. There was one this weekend that was like his fist is the size of an artichoke or something. And I was like, his fist alone? I think it was
huge.
A typo. I think he's the size of an artichoke.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Got a hell of a fist.
I was nervous. Yeah, I was nervous about where the rest of the body was. You know what I mean? Like, oh,
seriously.
Fist, artichoke, body, you know, like date. And I was
oh
God.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
He's going to come out with like Thor's hammer.
Yeah. No, I think he's the size of an artichoke right now. Yeah. Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Does your wife rub her belly?
She's like right in that weird middle ground where like she either has drunk a lot of beer lately or is pregnant. So I think that she likes holding it so that people are like, oh, baby.
Right. They're not like she really let herself go.
Yeah. I think she's on the in-between right now.
Okay.
Though, on the other hand, am killing it.
All right.
Are you putting on the baby pounds?
Oh, hell yeah, baby.
Are you?
Oh, I think so. I think I was up. No one said anything, which was very nice. But I think I was up about 15 pounds.
Really?
No, sir.
I really do at one point. After Atlanta, I think. I mean, we also probably ate 4 pounds at the Waffle House.
Sure. Yeah.
But I think I was up about 12 pounds, and then I lost it. Yeah.
I will tell you, Jensen, it does not show on you.
At all.
It doesn't.
I feel it.
Yeah. Don't ask about me. Hey,
I mean, what did you do this
I don't
want
to talk about
long
it.
Weekend, or what did
I
you do?
Talk about it.
What
are
you
hiding?
You can't say don't ask about me.
But we're
That's
having
bogus.
A good, we're having a good time here, though. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't want to bring the party down.
Hmm. What happened?
It's just
Bean.
I'm not joking, though. That's what I'm saying.
What?
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show.
Well, no, I have a thing first.
Oh.
The thing is going to cheer you up. The thing is going to cheer me up, and that's what I need. This is Edward Cortez. He is 14 years old from California. Doesn't say. I didn't see in the article, Allie, did you, which city he lives in California?
I just sent it to you. I said, this will be good, and then I didn't read it.
Yeah, it is good. It's
now Bean's going to talk about it and not read it.
So this woman named Lydia posted a note online and said, my cousin and his wife got an email from their son's teacher. He didn't do his homework, so the teacher asked him to write a paper saying why he didn't do his homework, which is kind of an interesting approach. I mean, I guess the teacher was trying to engage in some sort of a dialogue with the child to try to convince him that homework is important because that's how you learn and that's how you get smart and that's how you grow up and you get a job and all of that, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So here's what little Edward wrote back. And Kevin, this guy's going to be your new hero.
All right.
I didn't do my homework because I don't want to do schoolwork over the weekend because it's a stress-free time to go out with friends, watch TV, and play video games.
My man.
I don't do it also because it makes me very mad and unhappy. I do what makes me happy because I want to be happy. Hmm. Plus, my mom has been finding gray hairs. Not trying to stress out dog. Two different thoughts going on there. Is the dog stressed out because the mom is stressed out? The kid is worried about being stressed out like the mom because the mom has gray hairs? I think that's what he's saying.
Is it dog the bounty hunter?
I doubt it in this context.
That's a stressful life he lives.
And here's a good point he makes. The real world jobs don't give you homework unless you're a boss or a teacher. Homework is not a real thing in the real world.
Boom.
So we should not have to do it in school because it's not useful.
Hmm.
Now, I hate to break it to Edward, but there are a lot of jobs, this one included, where you do have homework. You do have work to do beyond the work hours.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
So maybe, I don't know, what do you guys think about homework on the weekend? Do you think that's legit or do you think it should be weekday only?
I mean, seems bogus to me.
That's the most on-brand answer he's ever given on this show.
I mean, I think we all had homework over the weekend, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that was part of
the deal. And we all hated the teachers that gave it to us.
We all hated having homework over the weekend. Yeah. And then there were the kids who would do it on Friday afternoon because they wanted to have their weekends free. And then there was Kevin and me up at 10 p.m. on Sunday night going, oh, I guess I got to do this.
This is so stupid. I can't believe it.
So he says, homework is not a real thing in the real world, so we should not have to do it in school because it is not useful. And here's my favorite part. Case closed. The court rules in favor of Edward Emmanuel Cortez in the case of student versus homework.
Wow.
He's got a whole ruling in there and everything.
That is a strong assumptive close right there.
Yeah, to actually give the ruling in your statement is pretty bonkers.
I mean, when you're telling the jury how they're voting in the opening statement, that's a baller move.
Yeah, or intimidation.
How old is this kid?
14.
Wow.
And I also feel like he doesn't write very well for a 14-year-old.
By the way, I thought he was 8 when you read the letter. Yeah.
Yes.
When I sent it, I thought he was 8.
I do think that maybe in Edward's case, it wouldn't hurt him to have a little more homework. Yeah. Is what I'm saying. Yeah. But I think that's a baller letter. I really do. I give him a lot of credit for the argument that he laid out.
I don't know how, as a teacher, you can't at least give him credit for a job well done.
Yeah.
For being creative and giving some legitimate reasons. It wasn't just I didn't want to. I mean, he actually backed up his decision anyway.
Yeah, he left no questions unanswered.
Case closed. I'm the winner.
Now you write a paper on why I need to do it.
Now the whole class doesn't have to have weekend homework anymore. Oh. Because of him, he's now a hero. He goes on to be president.
Yeah, he's taking it.
I mean, that was quick.
His next step is Supreme Court, where he walks up to someone, you know, Kavanaugh, and he goes, listen, Kavanaugh, homework's not a real thing. Case closed. I win. And he walks away, and then there's never any homework.
Well, I think he's awesome. I think you're right, Kevin. I'd like to see him ask the teacher to write a rebuttal and see what happens. I would like to see where this goes next. But great story. Thank you for sending that out.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Well, man, him and f*** you and f*** the f***ing horse you came in on, you f***ing asshole.
Hmm. All right. Great news.
Yeah. Great news.
Normally we do that on Monday, but it's Tuesday and it feels like a Monday, so we're going to do it. We have comedian Brad Williams in. I don't know if you saw him in the NBA All-Star Celebrity Game.
He had to squint.
I'm so mad that I forgot to set that up to record.
Oh, you're kidding.
I'm so mad. I saw the clip you posted, and it was awesome of his entrance.
Yeah. When I said that we were going to talk to him on Monday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did your conversation with him go yesterday?
Yeah. I did tweet back. I said, hey, man, make sure he calls in Tuesday also because we want to speak with him.
Oh. Was Brad awesome?
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did take a charge once, which I found sort of funny because I don't think the offensive player knew. I'm not just kidding. I don't think the offensive player knew he ran over Brad.
No.
I'm not positive. Like, he didn't register. It just was.
He stole a jump ball as it was being thrown in the air. He kind of, because it was low, he jumped, got it, and ran.
Aww.
That's how the game started.
Awesome. Yeah, that's how the game started. Yeah.
I heard he did the worm.
He did the worm when introduced.
I mean, come on.
What do you want from a guy?
What do you want from him?
Also, during all of All-Star Weekend, he was always right in shot for the bench, and he danced for probably 80% of the All-Star game. So we'll talk to him about the dancing.
Bean wants to get a tattoo.
I do.
Her Majesty. My mortal enemy, the Queen.
Oh, Kevin, that's
got
hurt.
Dear Lord.
I'm very serious about it. I've discussed it with my wife. Mm-hmm. She is completely on board.
Sure.
In fact, she went to Pinterest yesterday and started looking for images of the Queen that might be appropriate to translate to a tattoo.
Hmm. Tramp stamp?
For sure.
I don't think so. I don't think that's where it goes.
Yeah.
People are dumb on the show today. Ernie Hudson joins us in studio. How about that? Very excited to have him.
A real Ghostbuster.
And K-Rock Wheels Up 2019 destination number 5 is Beck and Cage the Elephant in Toronto. Your first chance to win is 9 o'clock this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Miss Sally McKay.
Hey.
We were gone for 3 days. I feel like a million things happen in the world of showbiz.
Can you
bring us up to speed with what's happening?
I could, but I wasn't paying attention, really, at all. Were you guys paying attention to what was happening?
I have really rode the Jussie Smollett story very close.
Okay.
I am confused.
Uh-huh.
Disappointed.
I don't know what's happening. I feel like he has not yet been arrested. He's not going in front of the grand jury yet. I need to know the truth.
Well, the two brothers that were brought in and then released seem to have had a lot to say, really, when it comes to this whole Jussie Smollett thing. They said they were indeed paid. They said that they did a little loop. They practiced the whole thing.
They were paid by him.
They were paid by him.
Also, kind of a steal.
Like $3,500 or something?
Yeah, if you're going to get someone to beat you up, I feel like $3,500 is a good deal. I was thinking they got like $20,000 total or something.
Absolutely.
But a lot of people,
the question is why? Why would you do this? And according to ABC News, they heard that that threatening letter that he received at Fox Studios.
It had like magazine cutouts for letters, very ransom note.
That Jussie felt that he wasn't getting enough attention from his bosses, that they weren't taking it seriously enough.
Okay.
Which then makes you say, well, what? Because then one of the items removed from the two brothers' house was a magazine that they thought had some of the cutouts in it. Mm-hmm. So was there even a letter sent in the first place, or did he send that one?
Also, doubling down. He's been doubling down. Oh. He tripled down, technically.
Absolutely.
He doubled down when he first heard that he was involved in it. He said, there's no way. Mm-hmm. Then last night, two nights ago, the lawyers put out another statement that said he is not part of it. This is all confusing.
Still a victim.
Yeah. Wow.
It's all insane.
But I don't understand your original question, which is why?
Yeah.
Why would you do this?
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing I could think of is you want attention.
Yeah.
Seems like he gets so much attention.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Why else would you do it?
He's enormously talented on a hit show. I don't understand how this helps him at all.
And I know there's like a theory that he was getting written off the show, which I don't believe. He's one of the three names.
Well, he is now.
Yeah.
It's all gross, really.
The whole thing
is just gross. And speaking of gross, how much would you pay for... New England Patriots, Julian Edelman's discarded beard shavings?
None. Thank you.
Are you sure?
Zero.
Are you sure?
$0.
So he was on Ellen, and she wound up shaving his beard, which I had no idea that beard was that crazy.
Oh, it's a monster beard.
Insane. Yeah, really. It was like Grizzly Adams, like, in the first week. Yeah. It was...
It's
it was
very
cuckoo.
Difficult to hide Julian Edelman's hotness, and somehow that beard did.
It absolutely did. So he went on Ellen, she shaved it, then she collected the trimmings off the floor and donated them to something called Charity Buzz, which is now hosting an online auction with the proceeds benefiting the Boys and Girls Club of Boston. And besides that cash that they're raising from the auction, both Julian and Ellen donated $10,000 each to the Boys and Girls Club, which is lovely. But right now, the current bid is at $3,250 for a Ziploc baggie of Julian Edelman's beard.
Who?
Yeah. A hardcore Patriots fan?
Even still, no.
Right?
It's his beard, Bean.
I want to smell it.
I mean, that's insanity. Get a jersey, get a football, get
something.
A glove, get a cleat, whatever.
Everyone can have those things, Kevin.
That's right. If if Julian Edelman is your favorite player and you love him and you love the Patriots, you have something no one else has.
Yes. Right. Yes. But then when you say to them, mm-hmm. I have Julian Edelman's beard, they go, ew.
Right.
Like, that doesn't impress anyone.
But what about, like, in a man cave, you've got Julian's jersey. Then right next to it, you have his beard and you put it, like, on top of a picture of him. Like, you use it as art.
But guys, wait till the bidding starts on Tom Brady's pubes.
Oh, why would you?
He has them already?
Yeah, it's going to go higher and higher. Yeah.
Allie, are we forgetting that cloning is a thing, by the way, with Julian Edelman's beard? Do you think about how you could build your own Julian Edelman that you can keep in a basement in your house?
Trust me, I think about building my own Julian Edelman a lot, you guys. It's concerning for a lot of people.
So I think $3,000 is cheap.
Well, that's just right now.
You should get in there and bid, Dean.
All you got to do, for that price, you can get someone to beat you up.
Jeez. You have 3 days, 6 hours, and 20 minutes left if you would like to bid on that. Just go to charitybuzz.com and then put in his name. And then, you know, put in however much you want for such a creepy item.
And good luck with that.
Some birthdays for you. Benicio del Toro. He's just great.
He is. He's great in everything.
Right.
Sure. Yeah, he just came off of that Ben Stiller escape from Dannemora.
Yep.
Dannemora?
He was excellent in it. Yes, he was excellent in it.
Yes. Jeff Daniels, Haley Duff, Smokey Robinson, Millie Bobby Brown, and Seal. And that's what's happening.
We got to ask Ernie Hudson if there really was a big Twinkie or if that was all CGI. Back in the day, I guess they probably didn't have the capability to make a Twinkie like that, right?
I don't think they showed one, did they?
It was just a
It was just a metaphor.
Twinkie, yeah.
Oh, I thought there was a... I guess I'm thinking of the big Stay Puff marshmallow.
Well, that you could
very
ask
different.
Him. Yeah, that you could ask him.
But there was no Twinkie.
I mean,
there was
no,
a Twinkie, but it's a metaphorical story, and then he says that's a pretty big Twinkie.
That's a big Twinkie. It's one of my favorite lines. Yeah. So
I'm
ruin
glad
it.
We worked that out before Ernie gets here, and I don't have to embarrass myself. That's coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Great news as well. Brad Williams on the program today, and People Are Dumb. First, though... This story over the weekend about the bomb threat and at the Walmart in Kansas is maybe some of the greatest television ever.
Home Depot, yeah.
Home Depot, sorry. Yeah. Excuse me. Yes. We used to have a close friend of the show, Mike Catherwood, who used to work here, and he was very proud of the damage that he would do to the restroom here at K-Rock. He would talk about how he was going to put in some work.
I felt like he would save it up so that he could destroy at work.
Yeah, he was the opposite of Jensen, who only poops at home. Mike Catherwood never poops at home because he wants to make sure to be able to poop at work.
Yeah.
But he would talk about how he was going to punish that toilet. I mean, he really looked forward to doing his business, all right? That's what was mistaken for a bomb threat in this story. And there are so many things that are wonderful about it. First of all, the fact that it was misunderstood to be an actual bomb threat. But second of all, the anchors, and we love stories where the news anchors just crack up and cannot recover. And they're laughing through the entire next story. They're so in love with this story at Home Depot.
They also didn't realize their mistake until they were on the air telling the story.
She didn't realize it till well into the story.
Right, and then all of a sudden you can just see it click, and she goes, oh!
So happy I know nothing about the story.
Oh, you're going to love it.
Delightful. Okay.
So here you go.
Some scary moments for customers at a Kansas Home Depot. Police responded to reports of a bomb threat at the store in Wichita.
Now listen to how serious and intense she is reading the story, Jensen, because she thinks there's an actual bomb threat.
Yeah.
Okay, so she is doing an appropriate job with reading the story.
Sure.
A customer alerted employees. A man inside the bathroom said there was a bomb in the building. Police were able to locate the man responsible for those comments, and that man told police he warned other guests to leave the restroom because he was, quote, fixing to blow it up, but...
He was fixing to blow it up. And until she says those words, she has no idea what the story is. She's just reading.
He was being polite.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. It's very Catherine-esque. Guys, I'm fixing to blow it up. And what is it about the kind of person that announces that, by the way?
I don't know if they're being
proud
kind
of that.
Proud of, yeah. I don't know.
All right.
If they're being nice as well.
I think it's a nice move.
That's what I'm saying is maybe.
Because you're waving off potential people to follow you.
Yes.
All right. So again, here she is saying those words and realizing what's actually going on.
He warned other guests to leave the restroom because he was, quote, fixing to blow it up, but had no intention of causing a panic. Man also told police others in the room laughed, understanding his joke, which I'm just now getting. Home Depot says they will not be pressing charges. But I can tell you right now, you asked the producer for me to read that, didn't you?
She's talking to her co-host.
Take it now, please.
No.
All right. So now they're at that point where we've all been in broadcasting where they have lost it. And in fact, I believe she just asked if they could just go to a break because she wants to compose herself during the commercial. He says no, but they're laughing too hard to move on to the next story.
To Ethan now, please.
No.
Are we going to have to go to a commercial?
No, we're going to get it. We're going to get it.
No, you're not.
All right. We can do this.
Nope.
I love this time of news.
All right, so the male anchor who takes the next story tries to go on. And by the way, let's not lose sight of how crazy this next story is that he is also reading, which I don't even know if you noticed, Kevin, what it was because they're all laughing so hard. But it's also a bizarre story. What the hell is going on with the news in Kansas?
All right. Turning now to an impassioned plea in a string of thefts. Police are searching for several thieves believed to have stolen a 400-year-old bonsai tree. The missing tree, seen here, stands about 3 feet tall and 2.5 feet wide.
Oh, no.
Can they recover? Or have they lost it?
Oh, no, they've lost it for sure.
With more than 400 points and branches. It is... It is green with a brownish curved trunk that tilts a bit to the side, as you can see. The owners of the tree, fifth generation bonsai masters, would like to send a message to the tree.
What?
It's a bonsai master.
Fifth generation.
And they send a message to the tree.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Is this next story is crazy too. This is the best newscast ever. All right, let's see what the message is.
Fifth generation bonsai masters would like to send a message to the tree. Quote,
what?
Are you at least getting enough water?
What?
End quote. The owners say they've raised this tree as their own child, and they are desperate to have it home. It's estimated to be worth about...
What do you think this tree that got stolen?
No.
I know this isn't the point of the bit, but what do you suppose this tree is estimated to be worth?
A couple hundred?
Oh,
bonsai tree.
It that much?
I was saying 50 bucks.
Yeah. 50 bucks, couple hundred. Kevin, your thoughts?
100.
These are fifth generation bonsai razors, though.
Sure. Well,
let me change mine then. $1.
All right.
Okay. They are desperate to have it home. It's estimated to be worth about $90,000.
Oh, my God.
$90,000.
What is this story?
This is not possible.
They also talked to the tree through the television.
Are you getting enough water?
Did.
What is going on?
Hey, tree, are you getting enough water?
I hope you're getting enough water.
And stay away from the man at the Home Depot, too.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
The owners of the tree, fifth generation bonsai masters, would like to send a message to the tree. Quote, are you at least getting enough water? End quote.
I hope the tree was watching that channel.
That's not a thing, though, right? It's not just me. That's not a thing.
What's not a thing?
A bonsai fifth generation bonsai masters communicating with the tree through the TV.
The communicating part is questionable, but the fifth generation master,
Oh, there are people very serious about their bonsai trees.
Right, but they're asking the tree if it got enough water through the news anchors.
Right, that's not a great move.
And most of the guys who are curating, you know, their own gardens and stuff, they're also training young karate masters.
That's a movie.
No,
yeah.
they're
that's
all
Karate
of them
Kid.
Are yeah. teaching
that
someone to win an all-valley tournament.
It's just Mr. Miyagi.
No, all of them.
All
and
of them?
I hope they're getting enough water.
Okay. All right.
And appropriately waxing on and off.
Yes.
All right. Great news coming up right at the top of the hour because it's a Tuesday that feels like a Monday. Allie's here first with what's happening.
We knew it was a matter of time, but people still acted shocked this weekend when news hit that Netflix and Marvel have officially broken up. It's over, you guys. Yeah. We knew it was going to happen when they nixed Daredevil, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist. But now it's official. The Punisher and Jessica Jones are no longer. Good night now. The Punisher Season 2 debuted in January, and Jessica Jones' third year has yet to premiere. They say it will air later in the year on Netflix. But I guess the good thing is letting them know now they can get other jobs, that type of thing.
Sure.
They're not held back. So there you have it. It's over.
I will tell you, Luke Cage is on Drop the Mic this week, Mike Coulter, and he had just got canceled like the week before when we had him on, and I had heard, we definitely hit it about six times in the battle, but I did hear him in his trailer making deals, baby.
Oh.
Yeah, he was like already getting offers from new shows.
I bet.
Yeah, so it'll be the same for these people.
All of those shows are so good, you guys.
And now they're gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is a case, let's make it clear, they're not being canceled because they're not good and people don't watch them, they're just being canceled because they're going under a different umbrella for Disney.
Yeah.
So does this? So we don't know if Disney's going to continue making new ones.
The rumor is they're not.
Oh, that's the rumor. Okay,
but who knows?
Who knows?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Who knows anything?
Hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
Who knows? This is very sad news for those of us that grew up here in Southern California and watched longtime consumer journalist David Horowitz. He has passed away at the age of 81.
Fight back.
Fight back with David Horowitz.
Awesome. He was the best.
He would do a show where basically he would investigate defective products, advertising claims, and then at the end he'd say, "Fight back and don't let anyone rip you off."
Yeah.
But was he Seven on your side?
No.
No.
He was Channel 4.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But you might remember him mostly from, you know, just doing the newscast at 4 p.m. And then a guy came in with a gun and held him up live on television. That was in, I believe, 87.
Yeah.
Guy came in, and he wound up reading very calmly whatever the guy had written for him, but didn't know that at that time NBC pulled the plug, so they weren't airing it live.
Oh, smart.
But what happened, I think it was John Beard. The guy put the gun on the desk, and John Beard's
the guy with the gun?
No.
John Beard grabs the gun away from him.
Yes, confiscated it. But then what happened from this is David Horowitz took on a campaign to ban toy guns that looked like real guns.
Yeah, because it wasn't a real gun.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
It was a fake gun.
And I remember the reason those cap guns and stuff had a red circle in the barrel is from that original...
Right?
Yeah.
Changing lives.
Yeah.
David Horowitz. All of that acclaim led to him being a regular guest on The Tonight Show, starring Johnny Carson. And he was on Silver Spoon's Alf, The Golden Girls, Saved by the Bell. I mean, he was everywhere.
Yeah.
David Horowitz was like the first news guy that you're like, that's my news guy. Oh my God, he's on Alf.
Yeah.
That is so rad. Like, as a little kid, that was such a huge deal to me.
So did they write the news ordeal into all of those shows? Like, did Alf pull a gun on David Horowitz when he was on?
Yeah.
Force him to read a statement?
That's what he was best known for.
I don't know. Let's hear how it went.
Come on.
No problem.
That's all I got.
Oh, all right.
That's all I got. Sorry.
You can't change No Problem Willie into No Problem David. Just try it.
No problem, David.
Nailed it.
That was good.
Alf,
can you put the gun down, please?
So Miranda Lambert surprised everybody by... posting on Valentine's Day that she wanted to share some news. I met the love of my life and we got hitched. What?
Wow.
That was quick, right? Well,
if you're a celebrity, you're not allowed to just run off and get married without letting the world in on it.
Well, here's
Pete Davidson.
Interesting stuff with her and her husband, Brendan McLaughlin. They met when he's a police officer, and he is assigned to the Times Square area.
Okay.
And she was shooting Good Morning America in November of last year. She was performing there. He was on set. They met. And then a couple days later, he welcomed his child with his ex-girlfriend. So he meets her like, hey, let's go out. But first, I just have to have this kid real quick.
Oh, boy.
3 days later, had the baby. And then they secretly dated for 3 months before marrying on January 26th.
That guy's got game.
That's what I'm saying.
There's a guy who says, just a minute, I need to go have a baby with someone else.
Right?
I'll be back. And
literally
gets her to wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So they only dated for 3 months before marrying on January 26th, but they're now married, and he is a new baby, and she was tossing... What? I was going to say tossing salad, but she tossed a salad in someone's lap just last week at a Nashville steakhouse. A lot of weird stuff is what I'm saying is happening with Miranda Lambert, but... Yeah, there you have it, guys.
There's a country music song in there somewhere.
That's what I'm saying. Bean, this has you written all over it.
All right.
Former Late Show with David Letterman band leader and sidekick Paul Schaefer is set to host a new interview show that will air on Sirius XM and AXS TV. Here's why it has you written all over it. It's a bunch of people I don't care about.
Oh, yeah, there's going to be a lot of kooky music humans here.
He does not seem like a good interviewer.
That's what I'm saying.
He had nothing to add to David
ever.
Letterman.
Ever. Even when they rehearsed stuff, I was still like, Paul, were you there for rehearsal? What happened? Paul Schaefer Plus One will feature the musician speaking with a number of his musical friends. Sammy Hagar, Steely Dan's Donald Fagen, Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top,
I will be shocked
Graham Nash.
One person of color, but keep going.
It's just, wow.
He's so white.
He's basically going to be the Rodney of Sirius.
His I don't even know what that is.
His show will air on Sunday nights on Sirius XM.
I think he'll be fine because he speaks the same language as all those people.
He doesn't speak any language. He goes, that's all he does is make noises and point at Letterman.
But there's more to Paul Schaefer than just his sidekick role on David Letterman. I mean, he is one of the most accomplished musicians and arrangers ever. I mean,
he can interview people?
I think it'll be friends getting together and just talking about their common experiences. Yeah, I think it'll be. I'm willing to give it a shot.
I thought you might.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, he's the band leader for all of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame performances, for instance. You know, I mean, he knows everybody, and he is a musical prodigy. I mean, he really has always been phenomenal. And he's Bernie, what's his name?
Madoff?
No, his Spinal Tap character.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't know the name.
But Mac.
Let him say.
Sanders.
I don't think it's Sanders. No? I'm pretty sure it's not Sanders.
Lomax. Yeah. Bernie Lomax? That's the dead guy.
Madoff. What I'm saying is the guy, let's give him a shot.
Okay.
I'll listen and let you know how he is.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
By the way, he's coming off of his Las Vegas residency at Cleopatra's Barge.
What?
What is that?
I don't know.
I read that. I'm like, that doesn't sound great.
No,
like,
not at all.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know what that is.
Me either.
We don't either, Rodney, but that's your competition now. So
he is Artie Fufkin from Spinal Tap.
Okay, thank you.
Artie Fufkin.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Rodney.
Some birthdays for you. Jeff Daniels, Hayley Duff, Seal, Millie Bobby Brown, Smokey Robinson, and Benicio del Toro. And that's what's up.
Later this hour, we'll announce who's going to Spain to see Vampire Weekend. At the same time, K-Rock Wheels Up 2019 Destination Number 5 is already happening. Great double bill of Beck and Cage the Elephant in Toronto, Canada. Your chance to qualify for that by winning their tickets for the upcoming Southern California show at Five Point Amphitheater is at 9 a.m. this morning here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Plenty of bad news. That's easy to find. But once a week, we give you 5 minutes of good news. In fact, I'll even go one step higher than that. 5 minutes of great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news.
I'm going to start today. What?
What? I thought.
Yeah, you are.
Wait.
Yeah, you are.
When your kids were young, yep. Did you ever accidentally lock them in your car?
No.
That is surprising to me. Knowing how forgetful you are and how many things you leave behind.
I mean, honestly, I feel like I was probably followed around by someone to make sure.
I'm stunned that you didn't, like, you're in the Kmart and you go, wait a minute, I think I brought the kids with me.
No, I don't understand that, to be honest. That's a whole level of not paying attention that even I don't do.
Well, it does happen more often than we'd like, that's for sure, because it potentially can be very dangerous. This story comes out of Florida. It won't believe you, but believe me, it has a happy ending.
An unnerving moment for any parent, that child locked inside an SUV outside the Pasco County Courthouse. Thankfully, Pasco deputies were nearby, and a rare moment of inmates working with law enforcement.
Is she okay in there?
One-year-old Dallas alone, trapped inside her family's SUV.
By the way, are we rooting for or against the kid if her name is Dallas?
I mean,
I don't think it's the kid's fault.
Okay.
Yeah, and we need new strippers.
That's right. Okay. All right. So there are police officers around while the kid is locked in the car, and also inmates on a work release program. They'll turn out to be very important in this story.
You okay, baby?
Her father tossed the keys in the front seat. The doors locked after he buckled her in.
Trial the door.
The front door.
The driver door.
A crowd quickly forms to help, including a group of deputies and work release inmates they supervise.
You know, the trustees are people who made mistakes. We're trying to rehabilitate them and get back in society.
Five low-risk offenders jumping into action. They were repairing medians outside the West Pasco Judicial Center.
Surprisingly, somebody had a wire coat hanger, able to get the door open enough to get in there, unlock the door.
Unlikely teamwork saves the day.
Yes, thank God.
By the way, this in Florida, the inmates are wearing the old 1930s black and white outfits that they used to wear in jail.
I was very surprised to see that. It was almost like a comedy sketch. Yeah.
Yeah. And where did the wire coat hanger come from?
Who had
a coat hanger with them?
Probably just one of the prisoners.
So some of the inmates pulled the door open enough for them to get the coat hanger in there and were able to pop the lock.
Sheriff Chris Nocco says this inmate's unique skill set came in handy.
Only when the deputy's around, we give permission, can you break into that car?
In Dallas, his parents tell me, despite the scare,
honey, was that stressful? Oh my God.
She is doing just fine.
Beat it, kid. So everything's fine. The inmates saved the day, and that's my great news.
Uh-oh.
Go ahead. Mine comes from Houston. A 5-year-old student in Willis has a lot to smile about as her teacher's sweet gesture. Priscilla Perez is the 5-year-old's name. Her mom cut her hair. Mm-hmm. And it used to be like shoulder length. You'll hear her tell this story, but you can't really understand what she's saying. But her mom just chopped it off, and then she was getting made fun of at school because of that from all the other kids. Mm. And the teacher, the kindergarten teacher, that stepped up and showed the love that she had for this kid was amazing.
The 5-year-old student got a rough start to the school year, and it all had to do with her hair.
It's shoulder length here, and then my mom cut it.
It was shoulder length like here, then my mom cut it.
Mm-hmm.
And you just know that the little kid is thinking, stupid mom, cutting my hair.
About that time, friends started to call her a boy.
And those words from her classmates cut deep.
I was crying because I think that school was not fun.
Priscilla would come to school in a hat and refuse to take it off.
She finally came to me and said that she wanted her hair long, and I asked about her hair, and she said that it was short underneath her hoodie.
But this challenge was not one Miss Grimm would back down from.
So it was almost to my waist, my waistline, my hips right there.
She's talking about her own hair.
To her
was
hips.
To her hips.
Wow. This teacher decided to cut her hair.
I am going to do other things for my friends in my classroom other than just teach them. I'm going to show them the love and the support that they need in order to learn.
The new hairstyle did the trick. A lesson in a classroom that will stay with this little girl forever.
And who's beautiful? Priscilla's beautiful.
Isn't that sweet?
Well, now we have two people with terrible haircuts instead of just one. I don't see how that's a step in the right direction.
She even, like, had matching bows for every day so that she could match the little girl so that the girl didn't feel so alone. And it literally stopped people from making fun of the kid.
I mean, to her face, right?
And that's my... I mean, I've had a little bit of momentum, but go ahead.
Sorry. What's the deal with the mom, by the way?
Why'd she cut her hair? I don't know. Yeah, mom's never not interviewed.
And how furious is she going to be at this teacher, by the way, showing her up like that? All right, back to you.
And that's my great news.
My story is out of Newton, Massachusetts, and there's a town with a little two-year-old girl, Samantha Savitz, in it. She's deaf, and she loves to go on walks with her parents and chat with anybody possible. She just wants to engage with all of the neighbors. And her whole personality changes when somebody, you know, comes out and they try and engage with her. The only problem is it sometimes makes her really sad when she's, you know, doing sign language and people can't do it back. And here is what they have to say about that.
Her desire for engagement has been painfully obvious to everyone in the neighborhood. Whenever they see her on a walker in her yard and Sam tries to be neighborly, they find themselves at a frustrating loss for words.
I didn't know what to say back. Wouldn't you like to talk to her?
You know, basic conversation that one would have with a child.
Asking her about her day.
And make her feel that she is part of the neighborhood.
Just be her friend.
So those are all the neighbors that
how
are like,
about
how
about all the neighbors
we,
in that neighborhood?
Right? They're like, how do we talk to her? And Steve Hartman in the story says, this isn't something that a casserole can fix. You'd need the whole community to get together and learn sign language, which is insane, right?
Which is never going to happen.
Except it did. All of her neighbors got together, hired an instructor, and are now fully immersed in an American Sign Language class. She's brought this community together that just wants to be able to communicate with this little girl when she's out on her walks. And this level of inclusion obviously is going to do so much just for Sam, let alone the neighbors. And her parents said that they're already seeing a difference in Sam. Like she's That's rarely sweet. Let down. She's rarely sad anymore, which is so wonderful. And this is a beautiful ending to the story because Steve Hartman, he sums it up perfectly here.
Sometimes it feels like America is losing its sense of community. But then you hear about a place like this, where the village it takes to raise a child is alive and well and here to remind us that what makes a good neighborhood is nothing more than good neighbors.
Oh, they got together and they all learned sign language.
First thing that you sort of lose when you grow up is the idea that everybody can get together and do something. You just go, it doesn't happen.
Absolutely. Everyone
stays
to themselves.
Three of them will, but then everybody else will stay home.
Yeah, this whole neighborhood got together to learn sign language to make life for little Samantha a little bit better. And I think that's amazing. And that is my
great news.
Pound for pound, he's considered one of the funniest comedians in the country. Number 7, Brad Williams.
I mean, come on.
That's strong.
What happened?
I mean, come on with the come on. That's
Brad,
right.
Brad was part of the NBA Celebrity All-Star Game, which aired on Friday night on ESPN. You were where, in Charlotte, North Carolina? Is that where you were?
I was in Charlotte, North Carolina. You will now address me as professional basketball player, Brad Williams.
Okay.
I have played in a professional basketball game. I have an assist to Ray Allen.
Is that your one stat line?
That's amazing, Brad.
I have two assists, both to people named Ray. One to Ray Allen, one to my podcast partner, Adam Ray.
Hmm. All right.
Good for you.
Yeah. It was insane. Linderwell from Parks Junior High cut me from the basketball team. Ha! Now, suck it!
That's the reason he came in today.
Just to talk smack.
Exactly.
Pretty much it.
So tell us about it. I mean, were you taking it seriously? Were you playing to win? Were you nervous? Were you just out there having a good time? What was your mindset as the game started?
Well, when it starts, you're like, all right, we're gonna go out and we're gonna dominate. Like we're gonna go out and we're gonna just win this game. And then once you've been on the court for like 90 seconds, you're like, I'm 35.
I can't breathe.
This is hard. And you run up and down the court twice, which in my defense, that's like a lot of steps for me.
Sure. Yeah. It's like a quarter of a mile for the rest of us.
How did you prepare for that?
I didn't.
Okay.
Nice. I was boozing the night before.
Here are some people that were on his team. Yeah. As he said, Ray Allen.
Yeah.
Extremely famous Bad Bunny. The singer.
Listen, I didn't know who he was, but like you say, extremely famous, and that's legit.
Oh, no,
like
he's huge,
I got hit up more about Bad Bunny than anyone on my team.
Hasan Minhaj, Migos is Quavo, your podcast partner Adam Ray, and then Amanda Seales, a very funny comedian.
Yes.
Who on the other team scared you the most? There's Mike Coulter, Luke Cage, Chris Daughtry, the singer from American Idol, Terrence J, A lot of people on this list. Who scared you?
I will tell you who scared me, and I had reason to fear this man. Steve Smith, wide receiver from the Carolina Panthers. Oh, my God.
Is it bad that this is my favorite moment from the game?
All right, let's just be honest. He blowed me up. He just, like, he is like 5'8", which is apparently small in the NFL. Yeah.
Brad Williams thought, I'm near the top of the key, but this guy, I'm going to get a draw. I'm going to draw a charging foul on him. Yeah. And he demolished you. And I don't even think he noticed.
Basically, it was like a Street Fighter move. Like, he just came in, lowered his shoulder. He was Zangief, and I was one of those barrels that could just destroy him. Yes, pretty much. And he just leveled me. And like you said, didn't even notice. Steve Smith is 5'8". He is one giant bicep.
Yeah.
He is muscle. And he's one of the most elite wide receivers in NFL history. He knocked me over at one point. A different time, I'm trying to, like, really stay on him, and, like, he flat out just picks me up and moves me to the side of the court. And he also dislocated Adam Ray's finger.
Oh, man.
Whoa.
Because, like, someone was throwing a pass to Adam, and Steve was across the court, and Adam's like, I'm wide open. No, because you forget, Steve Smith is freaking fast.
Yeah.
And he cuts across the court, jumps, and intercepts the ball, in the process dislocates Adam Ray's finger.
Wow.
Also, you guys can't see, but under the table here, he is wearing brand new Nike Air Max that are the colors of the Charlotte Hornets. So clearly he is swagged out. How much free stuff did you get?
I had to buy another bag.
Brad, we're here. We're right here.
For the swag.
We're right in the room with you. We can hear you.
Yeah.
Stop yelling.
I'm excited.
He's on a high.
Dude, and I'm literally on a high because these Nikes give a 2-inch lift, Six Flags. I'm coming for you.
Wow.
I'm going to ride roller coasters today. I'm getting a Viper.
I think with the 2 inches on the shoes, you're now taller than Allie McKay. So congratulations.
Nice. That's right.
Did you score a single basket?
Listen, points are overrated, man.
Okay, I mean, at the beginning of the game,
and Brad Williams steals the opening tip.
Steals the opening tip, runs down for a wide open layup, and almost shoots the ball over the backboard.
A lot of strength. A lot of strength there.
I may have been a little pumped.
May have had a little adrenaline going.
They still have some adrenaline going.
Speaking of adrenaline, the entire All-Star weekend, including the slam dunk contest, the three-point contest, the skills contest, a little of the game, you were behind the announcers.
Yes.
You figured that out at some point, and you danced for an entire weekend went on camera.
Yes. I found out that we were on camera, because I was getting hit up on Twitter, like, everyone was, like, texting me, just like, dude, you're on, like, every... So we just started dancing like crazy, and then Twitter changed from, like, hey, look at that guy behind the thing, to there were people legit wanted to kill me.
What?
Like there was people like,
no.
Someone stop this dancing midget.
By the way, Kevin, that was terrible to tweet. You should not have tweeted that.
So, Brad, as a basketball fan,
yeah.
I mean, I saw you were posting pictures all weekend long. Here's you with Shaq. Here's you with Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
I mean, you just met everybody.
Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
Muggsy.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Muggsy Bogues is my favorite because he's 5'3".
Why would he be your favorite?
Shortest player in NBA history. Can dunk. And, he was amazing. But what tripped me out was that all the players, they watched the celebrity game. So
the real players?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So when we met Charles Barkley, like, there's a crowd around Charles, and we're trying to, like, get up for a photo. He saw us and, like, walked over and was like, oh, man, you were, like, when you stole the tip, that was crazy, man. You a knucklehead. and then we took a photo with him.
Yeah.
And it was great. Shaq, same thing, was like, Ray, that was a great spin move. What'd you do when you did a spin move? That was awesome, man.
He knew?
He knew. Huh. Which was insane. And then I almost killed Dikembe Mutombo. I legit almost killed him.
Did you bite his knee?
He's 7 foot
by knee,
three.
You mean ankle?
That's true, yeah.
He's 7 foot three, and he turned around and did not know I was there.
Oh, no.
And I legit almost killed a man who has opened up multiple schools in Africa and done so much for charity.
Everyone,
He is a great guy. But
it's like when the rest of us almost step on the dog.
That's what it was like for him.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I wish I could object to that, but if you look at my Instagram, there's a photo of me with him. If he ever had an erection and turned around, he would baseball bat me into the fourth row.
Like, all right. Excellent.
It's crazy.
Who was the best person you met?
And I'm going to get not funny, which is normal for me. I'm going to get kind of real for a second. Best person, James Shaw Jr. James Shaw Jr.
Is that right?
Who, he's the
Waffle House guy.
Yeah, Waffle House guy.
The Waffle House hero. First of all, his story, oh my God, read it. The guy took out a dude with an AR-15 with nothing, with his bare hands, which he should be getting drinks and laid for life just for that. But, like, when he's talking to you, and I'm saying this without any, like, he could be president of the United States. He has that kind of
charisma,
that kind of personality, where he's talking to you and you're just like, you're the most important person in the room. And he had so much fun, and it was so cool to see the players all come up to him and be like, dude, you're a hero. That was the coolest thing. So yeah, James.
I was
James
not Stark expecting Porter. That answer, I was not but either. I will allow
That's
it.
Fantastic.
Yeah, he was the best, man. But it like, and also the fact I thought Dr. Oz was like, it's like real doctor and stuff.
He looked like a skeleton, by the way.
Yeah, but like, I talked to him. He couldn't cure my dwarfism.
Oh well,
not a real doctor.
What good is he?
Yeah, not a real
disappointing.
Doctor.
Disappointing.
Yeah.
Well, even though your team lost, Brad, it sounds like you had a great time.
By the way,
and you
incredible
made great
comeback.
Television.
We were down by 20.
Yeah,
we were down by 20.
But you had Ray Allen.
All right.
But they also had Brad Williams.
Right? I've got issues with this because there's one time during the comeback when Hasan Minhaj makes a steal and we legit need a three.
Yeah.
And Hasan pulls up to hit a three. Ray Allen is sitting on the wing.
Oh, I saw it.
Yeah.
Sitting on the wing, wide open. We're like, or you could pass the ball to the statistically greatest 3-point shooter of all time. That guy's on your team.
Yeah, if Hasan Minhaj hits it, it's.
Yeah, but I didn't see Hasan Minhaj looking to pass ever.
Ray Allen!
Sure, that's an option.
Well, I have a Hasan Minhaj jersey, so I'm a big fan of his.
All right, Brad, we need to take a break. You want to stick around because we're going to talk about being seriously thinking about getting a tattoo.
My first ever, Brad.
You didn't have to say your first ever. I think
that's a given, right? We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Bernie Hudson, you guys.
Yep.
Talk about a film legend. Going to be joining us in studio coming up next hour here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Of course, you know and love him from Ghostbusters and a lot of other things. He's part of the new Adult Swim show, Hot Streets. Well, new to him, I think. Mm-hmm. So People Are Dumb on the way as well. First, though, Brad Williams.
Still here.
How many tattoos do you have?
I have zero tattoos because my father, who is 75 years old and more machine now than man, he's got two fake knees, two fake hips, and part of a fake back. So yeah, he's like the $6 million man.
Wow.
But he has told me that if I ever get a tattoo, he will legit kill me.
Is that right?
I believe him. And I don't even care. Once he eventually passes, I'm still not gonna get a tattoo.
Bean has no tattoos.
He put the fear of death into you. By the way, my father was from the same generation, about the same age, and that's how he felt about tattoos as well.
Yeah, and so now you're going to honor his memory how?
Bean is considering getting his first tattoo.
I am. And I'm serious about this, and I've given it a lot.
Why
are you laughing, Brad?
Why are you serious about it? Like,
what are you going to get?
Right?
Are you going to get a ship on your chest?
Going down?
Are you going to get the Edmund Fitzgerald?
By the way, once I get hooked on tattoos, I guarantee that's in my future. There's going to be a Weird Al tattoo. There's going to be a Taylor Swift tattoo.
I'll get into that. There's not many people who have one tattoo.
That's true. That is a weird thing. You either have a bunch or none.
As someone who has like 25, I have a feeling it's very difficult for people.
Yeah. Here's what happened, Brad. A couple of things have happened. One is my father did pass away, so I do have that. I don't have to worry about that anymore. I don't have to worry about disappointing the old man, okay? Mm-hmm. Secondly, thank God that happened, right? Secondly, I have a portrait of Queen Elizabeth in my kitchen. And I
hold
love
on.
Her.
He's serious.
I love her and admire her. And she's been my queen my whole life. And
my queen.
My
queen my whole life.
She is
Let me butt in for a second. People can't tell us apart. That's fine. You don't know our voices.
Right.
That's fine. We don't mind.
Right.
Every once in a while, I like to point out This is Kevin speaking. Now, I'm the one that's not getting the tattoo of the queen because the royal family blows.
Well, they don't blow. They don't
Bean, on the other hand, is the one who's getting the tattoo of the his queen.
Yeah, yes, his that's queen. Right.
He says.
And she's 90-something years old.
Can I ask what era you're looking at? Because I just brought it up on Google Images. Are you looking at a young queen?
Yes, I'm looking at a young
hot queen.
Yeah, definitely.
Is there a hot queen to be?
Oh, yes. Yeah, she's still
very pretty. She's very pretty.
Oh, she's still hot.
Good Lord. I think she gets hotter every year, you guys.
Sure. Fight you. You should go with current.
More wrinkles, more options. So listen.
Oh my God.
Young queen with a crown, and you should see her with a crown. And I just feel like she's gonna die soon. She's going to die soon, and she is somebody who's been important to me my whole life, and she's somebody that I'm not going to fall out of love with. It's a safe tattoo. It's not like, like when I got that Jussie Smollett tattoo, I thought, this Empire guy is going to be forever.
Right.
But, I think the queen has been around long enough that I think it's safe for me, right? So I'm seriously thinking about getting it, and Jensen has very generously offered to hook me up with a friend of his that does outstanding work.
Great work, yeah.
And I think I'm going to do it. What
now,
do you think,
where
Brad?
Are you thinking? A couple questions I have.
Yes.
Where are you thinking of getting it?
This is part of what I wanted to ask you guys.
Yeah.
Because I don't know where to get my first tattoo. I mean.
Now, is it your first tattoo? Like, are you planning on getting more? Because doesn't that sort of
play into the
placement?
It's such an empty canvas right now. It doesn't matter where he technically puts it.
I think you have to be like the current trend in rappers, and you got to go straight face tattoo, bro.
Believe me, I talked about that with Donna. I said, what if I, instead of getting the queen, I just duplicated all of Lil Wayne's face tattoos? What if that's
you get the
what
teardrop,
I
went, yeah.
Yeah, the whole deal.
That's a good option.
Jensen, where did you get your first?
My first were, I actually got it a weird spot. My first were on my inside of my wrists.
Okay.
Which is not a common first place to get it. But I think
if you're a chick.
Well, yeah. But I think. All right, guys. I think my first.
Is that the tattoo that says just breathe?
Yes. I have live, life, love, or whatever else. But what I'm saying is I think...
In Chinese.
Yeah, Chinese. I think it's in Chinese. I think the upper arm, the mom heart tattoo spot, would be probably the safest for you in a first. Also, a portrait, you need a bit of a... you need a run of skin.
By the way, Bean, how are you with pain? Because if memory serves me, not the...
He's sort of a baby with pain.
Yeah. Haven't you, like, separated a shoulder or broken a rib sneezing or something?
Yeah, I have. Look, no one looks forward to the pain of a tattoo, I don't think, except for the people who get hooked on them, and then they need that rush. But, I'm not excited about that part of it, but it's kind of necessary.
Let me ask you a question, because you have no tattoos. Why don't you just put a portrait up of your queen?
He has it up in his kitchen.
I have that. I have a huge portrait.
Why isn't that enough?
It's not, you don't travel with it, for instance.
He leaves his kitchen.
I do. I leave my kitchen, not often, but I do. Sometimes I go to the couch and watch TV. I want to do more. I mean, I am already, and I have been for years, pre-sad about Her Majesty's death. I mean, that is
I'm
going to be...
I'm pretty happy. That's the difference between us.
Devastating day.
How are you not just getting a tattoo of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald right above your crotch area, and right before you go in with Donna, you go, you're about to get wrecked? Are you not doing that as your first tattoo?
Or just point and go, you know what else is going down?
Right? Again, I've got plenty of time and plenty of room for additional tattoos, but I think I want to start with the queen, and I'm nervous that she's going to die soon because she's really, really old.
And you want it to be photorealistic.
But let me ask you a question. Why do you have to do it before she dies, as if maybe she'll see it and approve?
Right. No, not at all.
Well, then why? What difference
does the price go up?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I just think it's something I'd like to do sooner rather than later. That's
but what
all.
Difference does it make if she dies or not to your tattoo?
I have a Don Rickles tattoo, and I waited until he died because I was nervous with, like, his last breath. He'd be like, I hate blacks. Or, like, something right at the last minute you hear
have you seen his act?
I know, but I mean for real. Not on stage, in a bed.
Okay.
So I was nervous about that. But
what about your John Wayne tattoo? How's that looking today?
It's been a bad day.
But because we're about to run out of time, this is a serious question because you brought up my arm, and Donna says that I have the body of a veal calf.
A 92-year-old.
A veal calf.
That's what you want to hear.
And she is worried that it will not
not look good on my arm because I don't have a muscular body.
No.
I don't either.
The needle will probably just go through your arm. Legit.
Oh, and come out the other side.
Yes. Yes.
So does it not matter, Jensen?
No.
If you have muscles or not, it could still look good?
Yes. I mean, that might be a bigger issue Donna has with you.
Yeah.
Yes. Might not involve the tattoo.
Even if you get Young Queen tattooed, your arm is wrinkled enough, it's going to be
Old Queen no matter what.
Well, I'm still deciding. It is something that I am serious about. I'm not wasting everybody's time here. And I don't know. I mean, it's a big step.
I think. You know? For our next step, soon, we should get the tattoo artist on the phone. He can talk you through it and see where we go from there.
All right. Get a little fact-finding mission?
Yeah.
All right.
It's just little bee stings, dude. It won't hurt that much.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I've been burned for the last time.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
It started out like any other morning. The sky was red and it took a warning. She had the... Hold on, let me take that part again.
You're reading it.
She had the now and the beers are swarming.
What?
Bees, not beers.
She had the hive, now the beer
hit the hive.
She hit the hive and
I didn't even hear what night this was.
It's night one. Oh, good God.
Should I start over?
Yes.
It's night one.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Is that the longest moment?
It's so joyful.
It is. It's up there with Ali's Blink-182 question, that's for sure.
Yeah, very true.
That's good stuff, you guys. Hey, people are dumb. You know that. Mm. And we'll give you some examples coming up right after the top of the hour. Then Ernie Hudson joins us first. Ali's here with What's Happening on a Tuesday.
I don't know about you guys, but there is no part of me that cares about the Oscars this Sunday. Like,
I
none.
I am with you, girlfriend.
Yeah. Like, don't say girlfriend.
Ever.
Ever. If you...
I'm not interested either.
No? Kevin, I thought you of all people would be the deciding factor.
Stupid Bean also brought in highlights of the Grammys, so I'm stuck with it.
Oh, it's
so
your
I
turn.
I have to literally pretty much watch the whole thing.
And there are a lot of reasons, including there have been 20 award shows in the last 3 months.
Yeah.
It's just awards fatigue at this point for the same people talking about the same roles for the same movies. You know what I mean?
There's nothing I'm really rooting for. I like the favorite. That was cool. But, I mean, it's like, there's nothing I need to win.
And Roma's going to win anyway, so what's the point?
Yeah.
We wait 4 hours to watch Roma win.
At least you're going to see Queen and Adam Lambert performing, you guys.
Oh.
So that's new. So the Freddie Mercury biopic, Bohemian Rhapsody, nominated for 5 Oscars, including Best Picture and Best Actor for star Rami Malek. But Adam Lambert will be up there with the guys from Queen doing a song. So I don't hate that.
All right.
That's about it.
I'm still not excited.
Now, what was the thing they came out with over the weekend, Ali, where they're going to have non-actors presenting a bunch of awards? What's that about?
You got me.
Just random people?
What did you hear? Just like Steve?
Pulling people off the street?
Down the street?
My Little League coach, Jeff.
Like Casey Musgraves is presenting an award. Serena Williams is presenting an award. I mean, they're really mixing it up, I guess.
So famous, but not necessarily movies.
Not in acting. Yeah, right.
Interesting.
Exactly.
All right. Well,
still not interested.
That's something too.
They're not turning my opinion
at all. Ugh. This made me laugh. Chrissy Teigen and John Legend are going to be on an episode of Family Feud, and apparently it's must-see TV. They go up against the Vanderpump Rules cast, and there was an incident, apparently, during the taping. So Chrissy Teigen revealed on Instagram, quote, "I can't say if we won or lost Family Feud, but we definitely brought a flask, I definitely chipped a tooth, and there was definitely a record set." So if she's up there with just a janky tooth because she chipped it trying to get a swig of a drink, I kind of dig it, right? But who else is going to be? Because there's 5 people, right? So you've got the Vanderpump people, then Chrissy and John, possibly her mother.
Yeah, I don't
who else in the
she
family?
She posted some video on Instagram of them practicing, and it looked like she was practicing with 2 members of her family, her mom and then someone else.
Okay.
Yeah. She was not good at Family Feud, the mom.
No.
Excellent.
No.
Excellent.
Very, good. Very poor.
It's good to know going in.
Yeah. Must see TV, for sure. I don't know about you guys, but when I saw this trending over the weekend, I could not be more excited. Us Weekly says multiple sources confirm that the Jonas Brothers are planning an epic reunion nearly 6 years after they announced their split.
Do we need all of that?
I don't think so. They split from working with each other back in 2013, citing complications within the group. And in the years since, they've all kind of taken on their own projects, except one of them. He didn't sing anymore. He was just like, I'm married now. This is my life.
Okay.
But apparently they're eyeing a comeback under the name Jonas. The reunion will reportedly entail new music, new live dates, and a documentary. Are they...
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes!
I don't know if there are Jonas... Look. There were always people waiting for the Backstreet Boys to get back together. There are always people waiting for the Spice Girls to get back together. I don't think the Jonas Brothers are in that category.
I didn't think so either, but...
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there will be some Super Jonas fans who are excited, but I think that is going to be met with a resounding shrug by most people.
That's real talk right there, man.
I appreciate the bonus Jonas. He's the other brother.
Mm-hmm.
He's younger.
Really?
He wasn't in it before?
He's the other one.
Wow. What does he do?
I don't think he does anything.
Oh, that's so sad. I've never heard of him.
Bonus Imagine Jonas, being the only Jonas that's not in the group.
Yeah.
And do you think if they're reuniting under the name Jonas, then they're just going to have different people? Like, they're not just going to be brothers. Maybe it's like...
Oh, they bring in their cousin Anthony or whatever?
Right, yeah. Something. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, I hope they perform at the Oscars, because that'll get me to watch.
Good Lord.
There were a few... kids in Michael Jackson's family who weren't in show business either, by the way.
They had like an accountant?
Yeah, very unknown because they weren't in any of the, you know, obviously Rebe and LaToya and all those went off and all the brothers and their various solo careers and stuff like that. But there were a couple more even beyond those who did nothing in show business. It must be very weird when everybody's in one direction and you're...
They're in one direction? The story changed greatly.
I like the idea that like one of the Jacksons was my dentist or something. Like
right,
just a completely different profession.
Well, we've all heard that Kate Beckinsale and Pete Davidson are together. This has been circulating for months. They were at a Golden Globes after party flirting. They've been holding hands at one of his recent shows. But now people are taking to social media just to jab her. And in comments on a recent selfie she took, user Bob Jack Daddy piped up,
"Oh,
disappointed in your dating choices," to which she fired back, "Fairly let down by your wonky beard, but thought that's possibly rude to say." I mean, wow, Bob Jack Daddy burned you, didn't she?
Mowed it.
I guess that means Bob Jack Daddy had a public Instagram in trash talking.
Yeah, weird, right?
True.
Yeah.
Or it could just be his avatars.
Right.
Yeah, you never know. But most trash talkers are private accounts.
95%.
Good times, everybody. Mm-hmm. Good times. Kevin has to watch the Oscars.
It's going to be great.
Some birthdays for you. Benicio del Toro, Hayley Duff, Smokey Robinson, Millie Bobby Brown, Seal, and Jeff Daniels. And that's what's happening.
We are doing K-Rock Wheels Up 2019 Destination number 5 right now, which is Beck and Cage the Elephant in Toronto. Your chance to qualify for that coming up in less than 1 hour from right now. But we have a piece of old business to take care of, because all last week we gave you Vampire Weekend tickets for their show at the Hollywood Bowl. We qualified you to see them at the Mad Cool Festival in Madrid, Spain.
My
Tiffany ran out, didn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's my friend Kevin to announce the winner.
Nina Lowell of Reseda.
Excellent.
Again, please.
Nina Lowell of Reseda.
Now without screwing it up.
I'm not positive I can do that. Nina Lowell from Reseda.
Is that your final answer?
Just won a trip from L.A. to Spain.
Yay!
Right?
That's fantastic. And by the way, Nina is a Kevin and Bean listener. She won. She qualified on our show last week. So, Nina, hope you're listening again this morning. Congratulations. You are going to Spain. Get your passport in order. So, new destination number 5, Beck and Cage the Elephant in Toronto in less than 1 hour. You guys, Ernie Hudson from Ghostbusters joins us in studio in about 15 minutes. But first, it's time for People Are Dumb.
Dumb.
This is the Hey Drink Less version of People Are Dumb. Hey, maybe you should stop drinking quite so much. The first story comes out of Minneapolis. Two Lino Lakes women get DUIs in the same car on the same night.
Oh.
The police pulled over a white Pontiac Grand Am along 135 with both women inside just after 6 a.m. 6 a.m. Where are you guys coming from today? The officer asked. The woman replied, the gas station, just down the road. Officer, anything happened there? Woman, not that I'm aware of. Apparently, the gas station had called 911, said there was a car that ran into a pole and then a gas pump.
Oh, no.
Hit the pole, continued on, hit the gas pump, and left. So the driver, Marley McKay, 20 years old, admitted to police that she was driving at the gas station. She said she knew she hit something, but left. Then the women started moving around in the car, and you could hear on the officer's dash cam video asking, are you guys changing seats? They were changing seats. So the woman that was driving and admitted driving moved to the other seat.
Okay.
Both of them drunk. The woman in the passenger seat goes into the driver's seat. Mm-hmm. So the cop goes, you're both drunk.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you both DUIs for driving the same car in one day. So maybe drink less.
Can you give someone a DUI that wasn't driving, though?
You can if they're behind the wheel.
Oh,
yeah, and
wow.
They have the keys in the car. Yeah,
interesting.
Right. But I think my defense would be, if I'm one of those women, it couldn't have been me because the other person was charged with DUI. So if she was driving, I wasn't.
They were both in the driver's seat while the policeman was there.
All right, Judge Judy needs to get on this.
Okay.
Because I need to see how this one works out.
This one happened in Ohio. Unlucky burglar targets the home of Ohio sheriff. A burglary suspect apparently didn't notice the Ohio house he was targeting had a sheriff's squad car parked outside.
Ruh-roh.
Sheriff Dave Brand said his wife called him Thursday evening to say that somebody's trying to break into his house. He rushed home. He found the man reaching through the broken glass door, trying to unlatch the door. The sheriff said he wrestled the 37-year-old man to the ground and held him until police arrived. The suspect produced a blood alcohol level of 0.33, more than four times the legal limit for driving. He did say that the suspect had to walk past the sheriff's own squad car to enter the garage, steal the hammer, and smash the door. So maybe drink less.
Maybe drink less, yeah.
Drunk driver in Ohio arrested after posting Facebook video of himself behind the wheel. Also from Ohio, Franklin County, an Ohio man is facing serious consequences after a Facebook post that landed him in handcuffs. Franklin County Sheriff Zach Scott said Dustin Rickers, 28, posted a 12-second video on his Facebook page of him swigging alcohol and behind the wheel of a car. So he said, check it out. Here's my music. Here's me. Take a swig. And then he turns the camera around. He's just got one finger on the wheel.
Oh, dear.
And so his friends were like, dude, really? Mm-hmm. One of his friends is the person who called the cops and said, this guy is publicly like putting a video up literally on his Facebook page, and perhaps you should pull him over. And they did, and they arrested him.
So I know the guy doesn't believe it now, but he's lucky to have that friend.
Yes, no kidding. So maybe drink less?
Drink less, I think, is my takeaway.
Firefighter arrested three times in 24 hours at Cleveland Airport for disorderly conduct and intoxication. A Cleveland man and a 30-year veteran firefighter was arrested three times within 24 hours over incidents that took place at the Cleveland International Airport. So he shows up for a JetBlue flight, and he's way too drunk, and they deny him, you know, access to the plane. So he gets very upset. The police take him outside. He starts verbally abusing them. He gets arrested. He goes home and goes to sleep, comes back the next day for his next flight, which he had rescheduled. Gets on the flight, they back away from the terminal, and that's when he starts cursing at everybody and not doing what the flight attendants are telling him to do. And he actually shoved one of them, so they pulled back in. They brought the police on. He was arrested again a second time.
Three times in 24 hours.
Then
is
he went
that
back
some sort of record?
5 hours later and tried to get on another flight and was arrested for the third time.
What the? Do you think it was possibly like he had to fly somewhere to like meet his mother-in-law? So he's like, I will not get there. I'll
not
show you.
He's just trying to not get there on purpose.
Yeah.
I don't know. But maybe drink less.
Drink less.
Yes.
And finally, man digs up father's grave to argue with corpse.
Wow.
Okay.
Who amongst us has
a Stanford, Kentucky man feels that he did nothing wrong after digging up his father's grave in an attempt to argue with the corpse. Michael May, 44, was arrested by an officer when he spotted him digging up a grave. He quoted scripture to the officer when he was approached. When he asked if he felt like he was violating the grave, May said, no, no, I see the truth. He needs to be on the ground, not under it.
You tell him.
May, whose father died 30 years ago.
Oh, dear.
He's been carrying a grudge.
Was charged with violating graves, public intoxication.
Why so soon? And
30 years ago. The guy's only 44. His dad died when he was 14.
Look, he's got issues to work through, man.
And those issues, I'm saying maybe drink less.
Sure.
Dumb. We are grateful and humbled to welcome our next guest to the Kevin and Bean Show, Ernie Hudson, in studio with us now. He is an iconic actor. Kevin, take a guess how many acting credits Mr. Hudson has on IMDb. Just take a stab at it.
I saw that it was a long, long list. I would guess 60.
60? You think he's been in 60 different projects?
That's
in his
lot.
Career as an actor.
That's a ton.
What if I were to tell you it's 236?
Wow. What?
Ernie.
I would say Ernie's lying on his IMDb.
Ernie, you must be exhausted.
Yeah, I probably am. I just don't know.
You've been acting since 1976.
Well, no, I've been acting since 1966, but, you know, that was mostly theater stuff. So 76 is when I really started doing television and film.
And do most people come up to you and talk to you about the Human Tornado? Is that your iconic
biggie,
role,
right?
As Bo in the Human Tornado?
The Human Tornado, yeah. Every once in a while, the Human Tornado or Penitentiary 2 or one of those, you know, one of those movies that, you know, I was a little different character, you know.
Sure.
Does it make you sad that I sort of just know you as that's a big Twinkie guy? You know what I mean? Like, that was one of my favorite movies and one of my favorite lines from that movie.
Sure.
Well, so every time your name comes up, that's what I think of.
No, I
that's
think
a big Twinkie.
It's kind of cool. I like people to think I got a big Twinkie, I guess. I don't know.
I'm a big Hand That Rocks the Cradle guy.
So. Oh, the Hand Rock. Yeah, you know, it's funny because there was never any movies tailor-made for me, so different people like different movies, and they're kind of all over the place. I mean... Mm-hmm. You know, Hannah Rocks the Cradle or The Crow or... Mm-hmm.
Oh, The Crow,
know,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, Oz or something, but it's like a different sort of...
Everyone reaches it, someone gets something different out of
something
it.
Something different, yeah.
Huh. I'm Team Grace and Frankie.
Oh, Grace and Frankie, yeah, mm-hmm. Which is a lot
yeah.
Of...
What do people mention the most? Yeah.
Oh, Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters.
It has to be
at
Ghostbusters,
the end of the
right?
Day, it's Ghostbusters. But
they don't have conventions for Hand That Rocks the Cradle. If they did, I would go, trust me.
Now, there is another Ghostbusters that's coming up in 2020. So,
that's what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
That's only what you hear?
It's only what I hear. You probably know more about it than I do.
Do
but
I?
But I hear it's happening. I did talk to Ivan and Ivan Reitman and Jason Reitman, who mm-hmm. You know, producing, directing it. I wasn't offered any job, so...
You're not going to be in it?
Well,
no, no, no. Yeah. I mean, I know it's happening.
Days,
I know it's happening, and I don't know anything about it. And like I said, I haven't been approached or offered a job or anything, so... Okay.
Have you been told to save some time around whatever dates?
Not really.
Okay.
You know, I don't really talk to people about that, and, you know, my manager hasn't called to say anybody said save some time, so...
All right.
I mean, it's I'm just happy it's happening, and I'm happy that it's happening with Jason, who was, like, this little kid when we did the first movie. He was in the second movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if anybody's going to do justice to that whole franchise, Jason and Ivan would be the ones to do it. I'm happy for that. I'd be happier if I can make some money.
Same.
But,
same. You know. We feel the same way.
Same. We want you in it as well.
Yeah. Thanks.
Are you surprised, Ernie, that that Ghostbusters is as a franchise is still so beloved all these years later? That it's just one of those movies that kind of never went out of style. People always
yeah.
loved it.
Yeah. I am surprised. I mean, it's amazing to me. I mean. You know, 5 years after the movie came out, I was really a little surprised. And then 10 years, and 15, and now it's 35 years later.
35
people,
years?
Yeah, still, you know, quoting Twinkie lines. And, you know, it's pretty amazing to me. And I'm, you know, very humbled by it.
Sure. Was it a tremendous boon to your career, or did a lot of people see you as Winston and it made it a little bit of rough sledding moving on after Ghostbusters?
I don't know what people saw. I don't know what the studio saw, but it made it difficult. after both Ghostbusters to get another job.
Really?
Yeah, right? Even though you were so good in that movie.
Just the opposite of everything I expected.
Why, do you think?
I still, to this day, have no idea.
Is that right? Because
yeah.
I would have thought your phone would be ringing off the hook.
It was, but it wasn't from anybody with a job.
What?
You know, a lot of people calling. Well, but,
there's a lot of wrong numbers.
Showing up at my door. You know, a lot of people, but...
You've had some time to think about it. Do you have a guess?
No, I'm honestly, I really don't know. I'm not sure why that reaction. And then once I started working, I work a lot, but yeah. Then when we did the second Ghostbusters, the same thing happened. So, you know, there you go. But I've always been blessed to, you know, to work and make a living doing something.
Well, that's why I brought up your IMDb is it's just insane how many things you've been on, how much voice work you've done, how many classic series. I mean, like you were in the Twin Peaks reboot, for instance.
That's the type of thing
that in a million years, I mean, every actor in Hollywood would have loved to have worked with David Lynch. You got to do it for a few episodes on that. Was that an amazing experience working for David?
It was. I mean, the fact that he called and said, you know, invited me to be on the show, that was, I mean, I'm always humbled that anybody wants me, that I don't have to go begging for a job auditioning. So it was really great. I didn't do a lot on the show. I'm not sure what I did on the show. You know.
Neither was anyone else.
Yeah, they said, don't tell anybody. I'm like, I got nothing to tell. I don't, you know.
Ernie, did you watch, as I did, all 18 hours of the Twin Peaks revival?
I watched most of it.
Did you understand any of it?
Not really. You know, I always felt in that series I was always getting set up for something to happen that never happened. I mean, it was like, it was very, very strange. But my sons are big fans of the show, so I watched a lot of it with them.
It was just such a, I mean, it was, look, he's a genius, and everything he puts on the screen is beautiful to look at.
Yeah.
But trying to track it, man, trying to follow it.
Yeah, that's a mistake right there.
That's just in David Lynch's head, I think. I think he's the only one who kind of understands that universe well enough.
Yeah, I guess so. I find that with a lot of things in life these days. You know, I mean, I just sort of go with the flow and don't try to understand it and just enjoy it.
All right, speaking of which, we need to take a break.
Yes, that's a great lead in, Ernie.
But you're in Hot Streets on Adult Swim.
Yes.
And we're going to need a little explanation when we get back, if you don't mind.
Go with the flow.
Okay.
The great Ernie Hudson in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm wondering how we ever got into radio when I listen to Ernie talk. This is just embarrassing.
Yeah, it's annoying.
How do you think I feel? I sound like a screeching tire.
Ernie, how old were you when your balls dropped and you got this voice? Seriously, were you like 11 walking around talking like this?
You know, I don't hear my voice, so I don't. People do compliment me on my voice, but I don't. It's just I don't hear it. So
those of us don't have good voices, we listen to you and we go, all right, that's what we should sound like. That'd be cool.
Totally. Oh, I would buy anything you sold. I would join a cult. Yeah. I would do whatever you told me to do.
What if he tells you to watch Hot Streets?
Well, yes, I've already done it. I've already done that. How, before we get into Hot Streets, how much voiceover work have you done? I know you did Robot Chicken. Have you done a ton of voice stuff, Ernie?
Yeah, you know, from time to time. I haven't done a lot or as much as I'd like, but over the years I've done, you know, I did superheroes. I did some of the Spider-Man, Batman. You know, I'll go in and do different things. Beverly Hills, Chihuahua, a couple of the movies.
I didn't know you did classics or anything.
That's right, yeah.
Humble brag.
But, you know, but the real big paying stuff, I haven't gotten there yet. Yeah. You know, the real, but I always have fun. It's always fun. And it's always a little bit different. You know, I'm at a point now where I'm kind of looking for what's different. And maybe that's what was so attractive about Hot Streets. Because
well, you nailed it.
It was, it was definitely different.
It certainly is. How do you describe Hot Streets to people? Because I don't know that I could do it.
I don't know. I haven't had to.
All right, try it.
So far.
Well,
so.
I'll try my hardest.
Okay.
I watched all three episodes.
Okay.
I at first was like, what is this? This is weird. And then by the end, I was like, are there only three episodes on the preview? Watch a little more. He basically plays Jet Jr., who is an airplane, a very small prop plane.
Okay.
But in a normal human existence.
Yeah,
but,
so an office environment with a desk and a chair, and he's an airplane.
But okay. Then no one ever talks about him being an airplane.
Why are you an airplane?
I have no idea.
Okay. All right, good.
Okay, then he's taken over a police station from a former lieutenant or whatever. Right. And now you are in charge of following these two agents, Bransky and there's another one. Right?
Is it Chubby Webbers?
Chubby Webbers, thank
That's
you.
That's the dog.
Chubby Webbers is the dog. Yeah. Oh. Bransky and...
Jen Sanders, right? Her cowardly dog, Chubby. I remember.
Sanders is the niece.
Yes.
And, okay. Okay. I'm lost.
Yeah, okay. But, so then,
he's lost. He's on it.
So basically, they have to
it's
solve...
It's Bransky and French, Jensen.
Thank you.
Then
thank
French.
You.
There you go.
They basically have to solve a bunch of paranormal, different sort of strange things that are going on.
So it's Scooby-Doo-esque.
Yes. It's Scooby-Doo to an extent, but also, like, you should be on marijuana when watching. But I very much liked it. That helps it.
That helps a lot.
And,
yeah.
And it's done by one of the big reasons that everyone's excited about it is Justin Roiland is involved.
Yeah.
He's the guy from Rick and Morty. And then also Seth Green, who you've worked with before.
I've worked with Seth, and a couple times actually. But yeah,
Have you watched yourself on Hot Streets?
No, I haven't.
You have not.
I have not.
Not. Yet.
I have not.
That's you should. It's quite a thing.
Oh, good, good. That's that's It was actually very different and strange, and I thought it would be a lot of fun to do. And
if your kids like David Lynch, they're going to like this.
Okay, good.
Because it's the same kind of, you have to be deep into meditation to fully...
Or high, one or the other.
Or high, right.
That's
what
I call
Ernie,
it.
So, Ernie, when you are... when you're reading these voiceover lines as Jet Jr., you don't feel like you need to understand his motivation or what the plot is or what the connecting scenes are around it. I mean, you can just lay it down there without any knowledge of that stuff?
Well, you know, I think in life you don't really know what's coming and you can't remember what just happened. So it's a little bit like that. You know, you don't think too much into it. You know, I think you get a feel. I'm sort of into feeling. So you get a feel of the character and you sort of try to be present, which is what we all actually do anyway.
Right.
And so, you know, the lines sort of tell you a lot more than a lot of actors like to except a lot of times we think we need to figure everything out. Sometimes you just need to show up.
So you don't think of yourself as an airplane.
Well, that's kind of, I mean, I hate to be the true Hot Streets expert here. But one of the reasons it's so funny is because he's doing it just like any other police chief.
Yeah. Totally straight.
Like, he's doing it straight. Like, you don't really know he's a plane if you have your eyes closed. You just think he's a police chief.
And it's such a small plane. No offense, but why is it such a tiny little jet?
Well, I think if he thought of himself as an airplane, he'd have a real crisis, you know? It's
okay.
The last thing he sort of wakes up and thinks,
he's got
oh
work
my God.
To do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plane,
yeah,
you know.
Okay.
I'm a plane.
Ernie, what's the dream gig for you? Are you at a point where you would love to be on a series, for instance?
Well, I'm on a couple of series, and so that's not the dream.
What are you on? What are you on right now?
I'm on a show called LA's Finest. We're shooting now. We're
going to
wrap up. It'll start airing May 13th. On the Spectrum...
Spectrum Network.
Network.
Oh, you know, yeah.
It's, it's Gabrielle Union, Jessica Alba.
Alba.
A favorite of the show, Matt Saracen from Friday Night Lights is on it as well.
Yeah.
Are you a cop?
No, I play Gabrielle Union's dad. It's a spinoff from the...
Bad Boys.
Bad Boys. And
check
I would have been Martin Lawrence and Jessica Alba's... I mean, not Jessica. Gabrielle Union's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And ex-cop, but... and really, you know, sort of... the whole family dynamic, and it's very interesting. And on BET, I do a show called The Family Business, a mob family, the owner of the largest exotic car dealership in the country, but they have other stuff going on, and that's a whole lot of fun.
You are crazy busy, Ernie.
Yeah, he's the busiest.
Now I'm going to go back to Grace and Frankie and sort of resolve my relationship with
Lisa.
Please
do. I was like, what? Where do you? With the no.
Huh?
But you're going to resolve that, and I'm going to feel better about the dissolution of your relationship.
Well, it's interesting because I'm amazed that fans really love them as a couple.
Yes.
I don't know why I'm amazed, but I had a lot of fun doing it.
Good.
You know.
All right. Well, Ernie Hudson is a busy man, you guys, and you can catch him. Season 2 premieres of Hot Streets this Sunday night at midnight on Adult Swim, and it's certainly... Well, it's Adult Swim, guys.
You know what you're getting.
You do know what you're getting. Mr. Hudson, so great to meet you again. So great to have you on the show again. If you don't mind, before we let you go, Kevin has 60 seconds worth of questions. He's just going to rapid fire hit you with them. You just give us the first answer that comes to your mind. You ready?
Okay, sure.
60 seconds with Ernie Hudson. What did you want to be when you were a kid?
An architect.
Do you collect anything?
No.
Of all the actors you've worked with, who were you starstruck by the most?
Laurence Olivier.
Good pick.
Wow. Whoa. Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or no?
No.
What would most people be surprised to find out about you?
That I'm a fan of Tidy Up.
What was your first? Wow. What was your first real job?
First real job was picking fruit.
Do you have a go-to karaoke song?
No, not really.
What's the best concert you've ever been to?
James Brown in the 60s.
Do you have a hidden talent?
No, I don't think so.
Exactly how high do you have to be to enjoy Hot Streets?
Hey, listen, I'm still stuck on the tidying up answer.
I know. Marie Kondo and Ernie Hudson together forever. Thanks for coming by, Ernie. Great to see you.
Okay, guys. Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Allie, do you mind if I give an update on the Crown versus Tiara debate going on about my Queen Elizabeth tattoo?
He's
going
to get a tattoo.
The real news.
Of the Queen, yeah. We talked about it earlier. We put up, I chose two pictures that I am considering to have made into the tattoo. One, the Queen is wearing her crown, her state crown, and the for formal occasions. The other one, she's wearing a tiara. So I can't decide which one to do. So these are some of the Instagram, if you want to go to at Kevin and Bean Instagram. The crown is more special occasion. Go tiara, you know, for a more everyday look, says one person. The crown is going to look like a cork later. Get the tiara. Now, is that as a I shrink cork. And get older? Is that what they mean there, Jensen? Is
yes.
The shape will change as my body gets?
It really doesn't.
Droopier?
Yeah, I mean, it does. I mean, you've seen old people with tattoos, but it's not going to be so crazy. No.
That's why I'm smart to wait till I was old to get a tattoo, is because I'll have fewer years for it to die.
Yeah.
Get creative. Put a top hat and a monocle on her.
Oh, I love that.
What?
So cute.
I love that.
Hey, how about a Dodgers hat? Someone else suggests. What is the point here? Crown and corgis. Go all in. Go big or go home. Get the crown. Anyway, once you get older, your skin will wrinkle and it'll end up looking like a tiara.
All
so,
right.
As you can see, the debate is going.
It's raging.
And more than one person has warned me that that you do get addicted to tattoos. So start planning what your second, third, and 20th tattoos are going to be after you get the queen. All right. Allie is here. Time for another look at what's happening here on a Tuesday morning.
Not to go back to the crown thing, but I was not prepared for the crown. It's like the imperial margarine kid, like all of a sudden it's huge. I didn't think a crown was that huge.
It does look ridiculous.
It looks insane.
And I think it weighs like 80 pounds or something. I mean, it's something you don't wear often except for the opening of parliament and things like that.
Yeah, it's pretty serious.
That's a lot of tattoo and that's a lot of ink.
Yeah,
and that's a lot of
that painting. Detail's great. It's good. It'll look great.
Would you get color or black and white?
No, black and white for me. I have all black and white tattoos. I don't know. Bean, are you thinking color?
I don't know. This is another one of the decisions I have to make.
Should we talk to your tattoo artist?
Yeah.
Yes. Tomorrow?
Yeah,
I think
bring
we should.
I like it.
Okay.
Allie, do you prefer color or black and white tattoos?
It depends on what it is. I personally like the clean lines of a black and white tattoo, mm-hmm. especially mm-hmm. in portraits. But for something like a koi fish, I'm going to need some color.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying, but I think this is more along the lines of like a barbed wire arm tat. Like, it's black and white or nothing.
But wouldn't black and white not show the crown off? Do you know what I mean?
Like, it'll be very detailed.
In dark blacks and then grays and everything, I think that could look really
good. Maybe a little white. They use a little bit of white for outlining. That mm-hmm. could happen.
But the crown could also be a beautiful velvet red, too. You know what I mean? It could look beautiful that way as well.
Well, that will age a little weirder. Awesome.
Okay. All right. I have a lot to learn about this topic.
A lot of questions.
I'm sorry, Allie. I hate to bite your time.
Oh, no. Please. I very much enjoy this. Guys, this Friday, it's all happening at the Bike Casino. It is K-Rock Guys Night Out at the Bicycle Casino, Hotel and Casino, sorry. You're going to get $200 in chips if you win this call-in.
Yeah!
And not only
So you're playing with the house's money.
You're playing with the house's money. $200 bucks. Plus, This is for a spot to play poker at Kevin's table.
Hey!
What?
Every time I go in, call me.
Yeah. He's like a serious poker cheat. Player. I don't know if you want to win this.
Oh, you don't want to sit at his table is what you're saying.
No, I'd like to win to sit at another table.
I don't know. We have a drink or 10.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
have some fun.
And there are always these two guys that sit at his table and win.
Yeah, they're better than I am.
Okay.
Yeah, and they like to sit at my table and take my money. That's what they do.
Sure.
I like it.
So it's annoying.
Let's take caller 21 because you must be 21. And you are going to get a spot to play at Kevin's table for K-Rock's Guys Night Out at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino Friday night. Plus, that racket ship's worth $200. You can also go to www.thebike.com for more information. Poker and Blackjack starts at 9 p.m. 1-800-520-1067. Caller 21, and you're
Call
sitting
now.
With Kevin. Good times.
I'm not a smart guy.
I don't think that's true, Kevin.
I mean, honestly, it is kind of.
But you're good at poker. You're good at poker.
I'm okay.
I think it's going to be quite the night on Friday. Who else is going? Is it
it's Beer Mug and Dave and Omar. Yeah, everybody's going to be
Excellent.
There.
Excellent.
Good time.
All the cool kids.
But, so no women, though, because it's
Oh, no, all women as well.
No, it's K-Rock Guys Night
I know
Out.
That's the name of it, but women are welcome.
Oh, are you sure?
Sure.
Girls, guys, anyone that wants to come. Yeah.
All right.
Nope.
Would you guys pay $3,250 for Julian Edelman's discarded beard shavings?
I wouldn't pay $2 for that. I don't want somebody else's hair.
Well,
that seems creepy.
Depends if I'm hungry.
Ew. What's wrong with you?
How would you prepare that?
Some barbecue sauce.
He went on the Ellen Show, and she shaved off his beard and then collected the trimmings off the floor and has donated them to Charity Buzz. They're now hosting an online auction with proceeds benefiting the Boys and Girls Club of Boston. And then both Julian and Ellen donated $10,000 each to Boys and Girls Club. So props to them on that. Right now, current bid, about $3,300 for a little baggie of beard shavings.
No, honestly, it's Edelman's. I'm telling you the truth. You'll be doing that for the rest of your life. Why do you have hair in a bag?
I'm sure it's going to come with, a letter of authenticity.
This is my beard, Julian Edelman.
And then Edelman just thumbs up in a picture next to his beard. I don't know.
Yeah. It's got to come with something. He's got to deliver it or I don't know.
All right.
Well,
now you're changing things up a bit.
Yeah. Now I'm bidding. Good times.
I want to smell it.
But that's, again, That's real gross.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, lightsaber dueling is now recognized as a competitive sport in France. Huh? This thing on?
Yep.
How great is that?
It's not great.
The country's fencing federation has officially recognized dueling as a competitive sport. You're going to battle in a very physical 3-minute bout, and the French Fencing Federation is in support of the sport because it sees it as a good way to get people up off the couch. Bunch of guys out there with their lightsabers. I don't know. I'm into it.
This is the point. It should have a point or something.
Okay. I agree with her. This is Quidditch, you know? It's the same thing. It's like, fine.
Hey, that's real, man.
You liked it in a movie. It doesn't mean it's a sport in real life.
Well, it's fencing, but with a lightsaber.
Then use a sword.
You kids get off my lawn.
Then use a sword.
So full of hate.
Listen, as a guy who likes professional wrestling, I'm keeping it down during this, but this sounds stupid.
It does sound dumb.
How dare you all. I think anything to make people that maybe sitting on their couch a lot,
yeah, any, get anything, off their anything, butt. Yeah, anything to make virgins something. More athletic, I'm into.
What is failure?
I mean, that took a real turn right there. Some birthdays for you. Smokey Robinson, Seal, Millie Bobby Brown, Haley Duff, Jeff Daniels, and Benicio Del Toro. And that's what's
happening. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
Allie, I forgot to ask you off the air, so I'll just bring our business on the air.
Oh, dear.
Did you see your boyfriend, Gary Clark Jr., on SNL over the weekend?
I watched the clips of it because I tried to watch a little bit of Don Cheadle, and I was like, this is the most unfunny show I've ever watched. And then I turned it off, and then I just found the clips of Gary Clark Jr.
What'd you think? He was intense.
The second song he did, good Lord, that's a very intense song, and they wouldn't let him sing the N-word. Which is kind of the whole point of that song, but
well, That's a tough decision for a network executive to make, even if the artist can justify it artistically.
Yeah, and I think
there's a lot of backlash to something like that.
Airing at 8 o'clock, too, doesn't help.
No,
that doesn't help. In different markets. But
anyway, he was the musical guest. Don Cheadle, I think, did the best he could with what they gave him.
It's Don Cheadle. Why not save some of your best stuff for Don Cheadle?
Because they don't save stuff, because they come up with new stuff at the beginning of every week when SNL begins. That's why.
They should be ashamed, because that was awful. Bean, even you have to admit, someone that likes the show, that was
It wasn't a great episode. It wasn't a great episode. Although I do appreciate how much the president hates and now is threatening Alec Baldwin for doing impressions of him. I do enjoy that.
That is pretty strong.
All right, time for a final look at what's happening. What else is going on in the world of entertainment?
Well, it's finally official. Netflix and Marvel have officially broken up. We knew after Daredevil, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist were nixed that it was only a matter of time before Jessica Jones and The Punisher went the way of those three shows. And now, they too have been see you later. Punisher Season 2 debuted in January, and Jessica Jones Season 3 has yet to premiere, but it will premiere sometime later this year on Netflix. After that, there's no telling. Could it be revived over at the new Disney streaming service? Possibly.
I would think but, so.
Like I said earlier, as an expert in television, in the business, we say, who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? That's
absolutely.
That's
a great expert thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Guys, what would happen? This doesn't make any sense. Their characters aren't popular enough to make the movies? Punisher, Jessica Jones?
I think a cameo could appear. I'm not sure it's Avengers level, but I think it could show up in some movies. That would be nice.
I'm Team Daredevil all the time, forever and ever. I would watch a Daredevil movie for sure.
Done
I loved
right
it so much
this time.
Oh, it was done right. Are you kidding? Daredevil was amazing.
I was thinking of the Ben Affleck one.
Oh, the
wasn't
good one.
That Daredevil?
The good one.
Yeah,
that was.
How
Daredevil.
Dare you? Very, very different. Very, very different, you guys. In case you're waking up and seeing David Horowitz trending on social media. Yes, that is David Horowitz that we grew up loving watching on NBC4 here in L.A. He was known for his Emmy-winning TV program, Fight Back with David Horowitz. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Fight Back.
Sure.
And don't let anyone rip you off. It's just excellent. But also, in 1987, he was in the middle of a newscast when a man appeared with a gun and took him hostage live on the air. He remained calm, read the gunman's statement on camera, but the station had cut the broadcast without the gunman becoming aware of the fact. And turned out it was a toy BB gun. But because of this, and because it was huge news back in the day, David Horowitz then took on a campaign to ban toy guns that look like real guns.
And as we know, all gun issues have been fixed because of him.
All of them, thank God. But he has passed away at the age of 81 years old. So rest in peace to David Horowitz, longtime consumer journalist here in L.A. And if you were a kid during that time and you would see him pop up on Silver Spoons, ALF, The Golden Girls, Saved by the Bell, I remember being on vacation in Massachusetts and being like, that's our news guy. He's on our news, you guys. And he's on ALF.
And I was like, shut up, nerd.
My cousins are like, who cares? I'm like, no, seriously, this is so cool. We watch him on our news. Oh, it's such a sad existence I led.
What was sadder, Allie, your childhood or your adulthood?
That is a great question, Jensen. I don't know why you're laughing at it. How dare you?
I mean, I guess your childhood. Hood is sadder because back then you at least had potential to change.
Oh my God.
Whoa. Right?
Bean's bringing the heat.
I mean, a real turn was taken right there.
Mm-hmm. She's so sad and lonely.
I mean, she's not wrong. Yeah. You guys, Arrested Development, March 15th, Netflix. All 8 episodes of Season 5, Part 2 will be launching.
I thought we were through that long national nightmare.
No, it's
why
back
so soon?
It's back. Do they do press for it, or is Netflix like, hey guys, take this one and just sit it out?
Yeah,
we don't want you guys. Not a good situation.
No. I never thought that we would get to a point in America where we were not just not excited, but dreading more Arrested Development.
It's just too much TV in general.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. But if you're interested, March 15th, all 8 episodes of Season 5, Part 2, launches on Netflix. This, I don't know why this kind of made me sad, but when I heard that the pregnant Duchess of Sussex, Meghan Markle, landed in New York City yesterday for her baby shower, I just think it's sad that you're traveling to America for your shower because you know you're going to have a better time with all your girlfriends here than if they went to you, no, which is usually,
queen.
Yeah, which is usually what you do. You go to your pregnant friend for her shower. You don't make her travel across the pond. Like, how much does it suck for her in England that she's like, no, I'll fly. I'll come
happy
to you guys.
To come. Happy to come.
Absolutely.
There.
Let me play devil's advocate here, mm-hmm. and I don't care one way or another, but isn't it possible that after living her first 28 years or whatever it was in America, that she just has a ton of friends in America, not as many in England, and she wanted to spare them the expense and travel of having to come to her?
100%. But you usually, if your friend moves, like I grew up here in LA, if my friend moved to North Dakota,
and got
you
pregnant,
you would fly to her.
Okay.
You wouldn't make her come to you. I don't know. But then I think about, like, the queen.
Right, playing, how she sucks.
Playing those games, like the smell the diaper game, where they fill it with, like, different chocolate, and they have to write down what they
oh,
think
yes,
it is.
The famous smell the diaper game.
It's for... Have you ever been?
No.
You're going to.
I'm not going. I go at the end. I don't have to sit through this stupid game. Actually, I don't even think she's having one.
Oh, I hope she doesn't.
Yeah, I don't think
they're
she
the
is.
Worst. They're the worst.
Yeah.
Unless it's an open bar, and then I say kudos you when you've got a friend that doesn't open bar.
I didn't
know
the husband was supposed to be at the baby shower.
No, you show up at like the end.
Yeah, you show
like,
up at
hey,
the
everybody.
End. Oh, cool. How was it?
Kiss
awesome.
Her, and you pick up a gift or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's hours. Like, oh, put your hand in this rice and pull out the safety pin. Oh, because when you're blindfolded,
terrible.
You can't tell which one is rice and which one's the safety pin.
Or you, like, wrap someone up in toilet paper or something. Or...
That's usually a wedding, so it looks more like their wedding dress.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But, yeah, the one with the
I
diaper.
I dirty toilet like, paper, like,
oh,
that's been used.
That's oh, disgusting.
That's a
it's
whole
to get you
thing.
Ready for kid poop.
Gross.
Yeah.
But the diaper one, you have, like, chocolate in one, then you have, like, gravy in another, and you have to smell it and determine what is in the diaper.
Are and you do this
kidding
You do
me?
This voluntarily?
The yes, they're the worst, and they're ours. And then you have to sit there while she opens each present. You're like, oh. Oh, that's a great onesie. Who cares?
What? So
sorry,
you have to sit there. And, so she opens all of the gifts
yes.
from everybody,
yes.
and you have to stay?
Yes. That's why I'm saying friends that are lovely that have an open bar, that's wonderful.
I don't even think we're having one, just for the record.
Yeah, I think that's okay.
Christine says, assistant producer Christine says, she went to a co-ed shower this
nope.
weekend. There were
no.
lots of guys there.
Nope.
And that the guys had fun. There were games, but they didn't force everybody to participate.
Co-ed.
God, I hate you so much.
Co-ed is so stupid.
Yeah, I agree.
It's horrible for the women to go.
Yeah.
It sounds terrible.
It really
honestly,
is.
One day we should do a phone topic where someone calls in and defends their co-ed baby shower. Because I don't even think they're in a universe where that makes sense. Like, that is so stupid.
Unless it's just a big party.
No, still don't have it.
No?
Have a party. Nope. Don't need to do it for certain specific things.
But, I mean, again, devil's advocate being here, isn't the reasoning it's not just the woman's baby? It's gifts for the baby of both the mother and the father.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying don't have any of it. So I'm saying, like, discontinue it all. Don't have any of it. And specifically don't have a co-ed.
Co-ed
don't have
ridiculous.
Either. Yeah.
You married the right woman, it sounds like, Jensen.
She loves this stuff. She's trying to get me to do less. Yeah, she's like, no, don't do this.
Sweet.
She disagrees with any of these traditional things.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know if you guys saw over the weekend a gender reveal that was trending where she went to cut the cake, and then as she's putting the knife to the cake, a crazy, like, monster thing pops out of the cake and was like, rah!
It's like an alien puppet.
And scared everybody at the party. It was brilliant, and I loved it so very much. So someone was hiding under the table the whole time waiting for that. It brought me joy, because really, gender reveals. Stop
yeah, same
it.
Thing.
Stop,
stop
it, people. All right. Some birthdays for you. Jeff Daniels, Benicio Del Toro, Haley Duff, Smokey Robinson, Millie Bobby Brown, and Seal. And that's what's happening.
If you're just listening right now, you may have missed much of the earlier broadcast of today's Kevin and Bean Show, including our special guest from Ghostbusters, Ernie Hudson. Man, Kevin could not wait to talk Ghostbusters with Ernie Hudson. He barely sat down. Kevin was berating him.
I wasn't berating him.
You were berating him. Brad,
he said, I only know you from this. And then a couple questions later, he said, what are you most recognized for?
Well, that's different. Everyone else and me.
Also,
how
we did...
You both?
People are dumb, and we got into the topic of whether or not I'm really going to get a Queen of England tattoo. Right now, survey says yes, by the way. And the reason I bring all this stuff up that you missed is you can catch up on the Kevin and Bean podcast, which is available at radio.com, krock.com, or wherever you get yours.
You can listen to a 5 p.m. commercial. Tomorrow morning, we're going to talk to a tattoo artist about Bean's upcoming tattoo. Mm-hmm.
This is Louis Perez. He's very good, right?
Yes, he's done most of my tattoos. He's here in Los Angeles at the Shamrock Social Club on Sunset.
All right.
And also a new feature called Towels. What's up? And we'll continue K-Rock Wheels Up 2019, destination number 5, which
will
is...
that be an ongoing series?
It will be,
do, or
yes.
You think this is just
yes.
a one-time?
Oh, no, it's an ongoing thing.
All right.
Back in Cage the Elephant in Toronto is what you're listening for. That's coming up again at noon, 3, 6, and 9. We'll see you tomorrow morning.